This is a Zero Agenda News podcast. This episode is based on an evidence-graded timeline research paper published at zeroagendanews.com. Every claim in the paper is labeled by confidence and tied to sources, so what follows separates documented fact from inference and interpretation. How oil, gas, finance, military signaling, and nuclear technology turned a post-Cold War alignment into a durable but asymmetric anti-Western partnership. The paper covers the period from 2001 to present. It has 18 timeline entries. The timeline includes 16 entries graded as fact and 2 entries graded as conjecture. The episode follows the strongest points in the record and keeps the confidence labels audible. The first phase is treaty foundation and strategic convergence from 2001 to 2013. July 2001, Russia and China sign the Good Neighborliness Treaty. Jiang Zemin and Vladimir Putin sign the Treaty of Good Neighborliness and Friendly Cooperation in Moscow. The treaty supplied a durable legal and political basis for cooperation after decades of Sino-Soviet rivalry. It did not create a mutual defense alliance, but it established a framework for long-term consultation, territorial stability, and broad bilateral cooperation. This entry is graded as fact. 2012, Moscow's advertised turn to the east begins before Crimea. Putin's 2012 economic messaging framed China's rise as an opportunity for Russia, but the deeper push toward China accelerated only after sanctions and isolation. SWP's reconstruction of the period shows that economic policy and anti-Western positioning were already converging before the 2014 rupture with the West. This entry is graded as conjecture, so the script treats it as a documented claim or inference rather than settled fact. The second phase is energy infrastructure and the Crimea pivot from 2014 to 2021. 2014, Crimea sanctions intensify Russia's China pivot. After Russia's annexation of Crimea and war in Donbass, Western sanctions increased the Kremlin's incentive to reorient economic policy toward China. SWP notes that the plans were not new. Several energy and arms negotiations had already been progressing for years, and Moscow did not initially intend to replace Western dependence with a new dependence on China. This entry is graded as conjecture, so the script treats it as a documented claim or inference rather than settled fact. 2014, Power of Siberia gas contract binds Russia to a long China pipeline. Gazprom and CNPC agreed to a 30-year pipeline gas arrangement that would send up to 38 billion cubic meters per year to China through Power of Siberia. The pipeline gave Russia a physical route into China's energy market and gave China overland gas diversification. It also created infrastructure whose value depended on Chinese willingness to absorb Russian volumes on acceptable terms. This entry is graded as fact. December 2019, Power of Siberia begins delivering Russian gas to China. The Power of Siberia pipeline began deliveries in December 2019, turning the 2014 contract into operational energy dependence. The line connected eastern Siberian production to China and became the central symbol of Russia's eastward gas strategy. It did not replace the European market in scale or pricing power, but it gave Moscow a working non-Western gas outlet. This entry is graded as fact. The third phase is No Limits Meets the Ukraine War, from 2022 to 2023. February 2022, Xi and Putin declare a partnership with No Limits. On the opening day of the Beijing Winter Olympics, Russia and China issued a joint statement opposing NATO enlargement and presenting their relationship as a new kind of international partnership. The statement said friendship between the two states had no limits and identified no forbidden areas of cooperation. This entry is graded as fact. February 2022. Russia invades Ukraine and accelerates dependence on China. Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine triggered a wider Western sanctions regime and a collapse in many European commercial channels. China did not become a formal combat ally, but it became more important to Russia as a buyer of commodities, supplier of manufactured goods, and payments partner. This entry is graded as fact. September 2022, Russia supplies fuel for China's CFR-600 fast reactor. Rosatom's TVEL dispatched the first batch of nuclear fuel for China's CFR-600 sodium-cooled fast neutron reactor at Xiaopu. The project was civil nuclear cooperation, not documented weapons assistance. It still matters strategically because fast reactor fuel supply is a technically sensitive field in which Russia held capabilities China wanted. This entry is graded as fact. The fourth phase is sanctions economy and strategic signaling, 2024. May 2024, Treasury sanctions People's Republic of China and Hong Kong networks supplying Russia. The United States Treasury announced sanctions against nearly 300 targets and singled out entities in the People's Republic of China and Hong Kong that supplied high-priority technology, microelectronics, communications equipment, and machine tool components to Russia. The official record establishes that the United States sanctioned these networks for supporting Russia's military-industrial base. This entry is graded as fact. May 2024, Xi and Putin renew the comprehensive strategic partnership. During Putin's state visit to Beijing, Xi and Putin signed and issued a joint statement on deepening the China-Russia comprehensive strategic partnership of coordination for a new era. The timing, on the 75th anniversary of diplomatic relations, reinforced that the partnership had survived the first 2 years of the Ukraine war. The statement was a political renewal, not a formal alliance treaty. This entry is graded as fact. July 2024. Chinese and Russian bombers enter the Alaskan ADIZ together. NORAD detected, tracked, and intercepted two Russian Tu-95 and two People's Republic of China H-6 military aircraft operating in the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone. The aircraft remained in international airspace and did not enter United States or Canadian sovereign airspace. CSIS assessed the flight as the first joint China-Russia bomber patrol near Alaska and interpreted it as a signal of strategic air cooperation close to North America. This entry is graded as fact. The fifth phase is asymmetry confirmed from 2025 to 2026. June 2025, China Power records at least 113 joint China-Russia military exercises. CSIS China Power's database recorded at least 113 China-Russia joint military exercises through June 2025. The count demonstrates that military cooperation is not symbolic diplomacy alone. It is repeated operational signaling across years. The exercises still fall short of a NATO-style command structure or binding defense commitment. This entry is graded as fact. March 2026, OSW describes the relationship as sharply asymmetric. OSW assessed that in 2025, trade with Russia accounted for just over 3% of China's exports and about 5% of China's imports, while China had become a core supplier and buyer for Russia. OSW also reported that China had become a key market for Russian crude oil and coal after the European Union embargo. This entry is graded as fact. May 2026, Putin and Xi again foreground energy ties in Beijing. Associated Press reported that Putin and Xi met in Beijing in May 2026 and emphasized strategic ties and growing energy trade. Putin described energy cooperation as a driving force of the economic relationship, while China presented itself as a responsible consumer of Russian resources. The meeting showed continuity. Even after years of war and sanctions, energy remained the relationship's central material pillar. This entry is graded as fact. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. The partnership is real, but it is not equal. Russia and China share enough interests to sustain a long-term strategic partnership. Opposition to United States primacy, resistance to Western sanctions pressure, energy trade, military signaling, and a preference for multipolar language in global institutions. But the material structure is not balanced. Russia needs China as buyer, supplier, banker, and diplomatic shield. China values Russia as a useful strategic rear area and commodity source, while retaining more freedom to diversify. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. Mutual dependency is a weak description unless the asymmetry is stated. China does depend on Russia for useful energy volumes, diplomatic coordination, and a partner that can distract United States' attention across Europe and the Arctic Pacific theater. That dependency is selective and manageable. Russia's dependency is broader. Export markets, imports of finished goods, yuan settlement, dual-use supply chains, and political cover all point in the same direction. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. Nuclear cooperation should be treated carefully. The CFR-600 fuel record establishes Russian participation in a sensitive Chinese civil nuclear project. It does not establish Russian assistance to China's nuclear weapons program. The strategic significance lies in technological dependence and fuel cycle expertise, not in a documented weapons transfer. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. The partnership is real, but it is not equal. Russia and China share enough interests to sustain a long-term strategic partnership. Opposition to United States primacy, resistance to Western sanctions pressure, energy trade, military signaling, and a preference for multipolar language in global institutions. But the material structure is not balanced. Russia needs China as buyer, supplier, banker, and diplomatic shield. China values Russia as a useful strategic rear area and commodity source, while retaining more freedom to diversify. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. Mutual dependency is a weak description unless the asymmetry is stated. China does depend on Russia for useful energy volumes, diplomatic coordination, and a partner that can distract United States' attention across Europe and the Arctic Pacific theater. That dependency is selective and manageable. Russia's dependency is broader. Export markets, imports of finished goods, yuan settlement, dual-use supply chains, and political cover all point in the same direction. The practical recommendation is direct. Track leverage, not just partnership rhetoric. Analysts should separate statements of friendship from measurable dependence. Trade shares, payment channels, commodity concentration, and sanctioned technology flows show who needs whom. The practical recommendation is direct. Treat China-linked dual-use supply as a sanctions enforcement priority. The evidence supports targeted scrutiny of Hong Kong and People's Republic of China-based microelectronics, machine tool, communications, and intermediary networks that appear in Russian procurement chains. The central takeaway is this. The documented timeline matters because it separates what is established from what is inferred, and it makes the uncertainty visible instead of hiding it. This episode was adapted from the full evidence-graded timeline, where you can read the source-linked paper, review each confidence label, and inspect the evidence directly. Every claim sourced, every conclusion labeled. ZeroAgendaNews.com.